And good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection right here on K1, the one you trust. And Ms. Emily Tindall joins us again, and she is campaigning. She is running for Oklahoma House District 11. And good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me again, Tom.
All righty. How's the campaign so far? It seems like you get around every time we visit, you see a few more people. You've been visiting police chiefs.
Yes, I'll meet with Chief Rolls this afternoon, and I got to meet with Chief Burke over from Collinsville a couple weeks ago now. So we've had some really great conversations, and I'm anticipating a really good one tonight or this afternoon as well.
Oh, very, very good. Now, we've had a couple of state questions that have come up. One of them had to do with sentencing. How are you coming down on that?
So that's state question 805. Mm-hmm. It's about sentence enhancements. And right now, and just remember, this one is about only nonviolent crimes. It's not talking about violent crime whatsoever. We can talk about what should be categorized as violent crime or nonviolent crime, but that's a legislative decision, which I'm running for that position. But the state question only has to do with nonviolent crime. So right now, the way it stands, a judge can look at past nonviolent crimes and can actually enhance a sentence for that. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is that Oklahomans are incarcerated roughly 70% longer than like the national average or than regional comparisons for the same crimes. And that's just happening all over the place. So we're getting these longer sentences, but we're not actually seeing any results from it. And so with the idea behind this state question is that we'll end sentence enhancements. People will serve their time and be held accountable, but we're no longer trying to just be so entirely punitive. We're also trying to look at restorative justice as well.
Okay. And the other state question, you've been looking at that one too.
Yes. So the other state, and I do support state question 805 entirely. Please vote yes on it. It has bipartisan support. It actually has the support of Oklahoma Policy Institute as well as the Oklahoma Council for Public Affairs. Mm-hmm. Those two groups don't typically see eye to eye, but it could save the Oklahoma about $200 million over the next 10 years. So it's also just good fiscal policy. Not just is it good compassionate policy, but it's good fiscal policy. Mm-hmm. The other state question is state question 814. This one was recently added to the ballot to the point where I don't think a lot of us are super familiar with it. So I've been asking some legislator friends as well as other people involved kind of like what they think about state question 814. What it intends to do, and I might have to give some history on it if you don't mind.
Let's do that because okay. I don't think everybody's up to speed on it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and I did some research last night. I don't even actually know how I'm going to vote yet, so I'll tell you kind of where this is.
Yeah.
It all comes down to Medicaid expansion funding. Mm-hmm. The legislature now has a mandate from the Constitution to fund Medicaid expansion. And so in a $1 billion budget shortfall year, they're looking at the best ways to create what's more than likely going to be a patchwork of funding mechanisms. And so one of the ideas was to use some of the funding from the state endowment trust, the Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust, the TSET, rather than putting 75% of our settlement allotment every year into this trust, from there we spend that on public health announcements, we spend that on nutrition recommendations, and usually like public health campaigns mm-hmm. and awareness. The idea was to switch that 75% that goes to the endowment and actually put that towards the general legislative fund and towards Medicaid expansion. So right now, the way it stands, 25% goes to the legislature, and a small portion of that 25% actually goes to the Attorney General's office. It's like 6%. And then 75% goes to the endowment trust for that like tobacco health and awareness and public health, what's the word I'm looking for? Nutrition recommendations mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then what state question 814 would do is actually just switch those. I wish I had a visual because I feel like that would be super helpful. Mm-hmm. So it would switch that to where 75% goes into the general revenue, mm-hmm. and then the legislature would have to write legislation to tie that to Medicaid expansion. Because as far as it stands in the state question, I don't believe it ties it directly to Medicaid expansion right now. But there's been different ideas for how to fund Medicaid expansion. Increasing some of the hospital fees, perhaps, was one idea. Governor Stitt actually scrapped that legislation at the end of session in May, even though the legislature did pass that. And I can't remember exactly where the parties fell. Mm-hmm. So there's these different conversations about how we're going to fund it, because we know that funding preventative medicine is cheaper on the front end than it is to deal with the back end of the issue and have to work on health from the side where people are already struggling.
We're speaking with Emily Tindall, and she is running for House District 11. She is the Democrat, and you'll be going up against the Republican Wendy Stearman on the general election. The two of you are going to be in a debate coming up.
Yes, I'm excited for the forum. Caleb reached out a couple weeks ago and invited me, and I said unequivocally, yes, you're my first priority. I will be there. So I'm very excited to get to talk about House District 11, about Oklahoma, and about good policy and ways that we can really push our state forward.
And this is going to be a very interesting one. I'll be moderating. I was let in on that. it's going to be two ladies, two very knowledgeable ladies, and you're going to hear a whole breadth of ideas. And I really invite everyone to listen on the radio and also to watch on K1TV.com. Because there's going to be just a whole lot of information that'll be brought up and a whole lot of different takes on the information as well. And I think this is going to be probably one of our better ones that we've had. And so this is going to be really, really good. We've got that going on here. Where else have your travels been taking you, Emily Tindall?
Yes, I got to visit Stormwalker Ranch last week. That was definitely one of the highlights. It was, out of all the conversations and tours I've had, it was definitely on the most fun list because I got to brush a horse, and I haven't done that in almost a decade. And so that was just really relaxing, and, you know, just touching this and being around this really giant, strong, and yet gentle animal is really fun. So I got to hear from Kelly and Phyllis about what the work that they do, how it impacts the lives of typically women in recovery as well, people recovering from substance abuse, how they build confidence in students in the House District 10 area, how they teach them, how they train and work with a horse can build confidence and help them put boundaries in their own lives, like healthy boundaries for dealing with people. That was really encouraging, really exciting. It's so neat to see their work up there. And it looks like they might even be expanding into like trauma care and how to build like sustainable recovery from traumatic experiences. And that would just be incredible because we need to improve our mental health infrastructure in the state. We have Not Green Country Free Clinic, Grand Lake Mental Health, and we have Family and Children's Services in Tulsa. But we do need to work on mental health as a whole, whether that's legislatively or whether that's just from community awareness and ending the stigma of mental health issues. But they're a big part of that in the House District 11 and House District 10 areas. And so it was really neat to see their work. I've gotten to speak to the city manager. I've gotten to speak to some city councilors. And those are definitely been highlights too, because what it really shows is even if you're a part of the same political affiliation, that parties are not a monolith. I asked them all similar questions and got different answers for different questions. And I think that's encouraging to see the diversity of thought and the different takes that people have, even within the same party. So that's just really encouraging to me as we try to build bipartisan language and build bipartisan policy in the state, to see that that already exists and is already working really well up here in Bartlesville.
Now, a little bit of history on you here for folks who may have heard your name, but this might be the first time they've actually heard you on the radio or seen you on our Facebook Live. Tell us a little bit on the backstory of Emily Tindall.
I grew up in Tulsa, so I'm actually not from House District 11, but I have had family up in Bartlesville for over a decade. I've had family roots in Collinsville and Ramona. I've got lots of paternal history up in the Ramona area. I believe somebody in my family owned a bakery at one point. So if there's any history on that out there, I'd love to know it. I went to Tulsa Tech. I graduated from that program. I worked in healthcare for about five-ish years before working for a small business in Broken Arrow doing their social media. So that's been an interesting experience to kind of get to learn social media and then put it to work in the campaign as well. And now I take classes at OSU in my spare time. I'm working on a bachelor's in history.
How's that working out? You know, you're running for office and taking classes at the same
time. It's a challenge, but each informs the other really well. One of my classes this semester is an American Studies class on work and how we conceive of work and how we define work and historically how we've thought of work. And especially in a time where unemployment has spiked and then decreased and we don't really know what's going to happen next. As a kid that was really heavily impacted by the 2008 recession personally, it's just been really interesting to get to really kind of pull through all my thoughts on these issues and how we can understand what work and labor really mean to people.
So it's been fun. That is kind of neat.
I've also been married for over 6 years. My husband works in Georgia as a historian for the Air Force. He's a civilian employee. He's not enlisted, but he comes back to visit every so often.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
A historian for the Air Force.
Yes, sir.
So he goes through and just picks out all different kinds of different things that has taken place since that thing came to be, huh?
Yeah, so what they really do is they get assigned to an installation or to a base or to a unit, depending on the division that they're mm-hmm. with. He's an installation historian, so he and his colleague collect all the documents and the history of what happens at the base during the course of the year, mm-hmm. and then write an annual history that kind of brings it all together into one document. Mm-hmm. And they work with there's a central office in Ohio at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and so they work together on that to kind of get it all cohesive. Really, they're building primary documents, the documents that later historians will come back and look at to mm-hmm. try to determine how did COVID-19 impact Robins Air Force Base in 2020. 50 years from now, that document that he and his colleague are putting together will be very useful. I mean, it'll be very useful now, mm-hmm. but it'll obviously be very useful in about 50 years or so.
If people want to know more about Emily Tindall, where can we find you online?
Yeah, my website is emily4oklahoma.com. Keep in mind that my first name is spelled funny. It's E-M-I-L-I-E. So emily4oklahoma.com. I've got a bio up there, but I'm always open to questions. Whether I'm an open book, so if it's about my personal life, I'll answer to the best I can. If it's about my beliefs or if it's about my ideas, I'll answer to the best I can on that as well.
Well, that's great. And, of course, you're on Facebook an awful lot, mm-hmm. too.
Yep, we're on Facebook, again, Emily for Oklahoma, Twitter, Emily for OK, and Instagram, Emily for Oklahoma. And then I've got my phone number out in mm-hmm. the world as well.
So you got social media covered, you got the webosphere covered,
yes.
and the good old-fashioned telephone yep. is taken care of.
And a P.O. box. We've even got snail mail.
Well, hot dog, you've got it all.
Yes.
All right. Now, once again, we've got the... We can't call it a debate. It's really not a debate.
It's a forum.
It's a forum.
Yeah.
And that's coming up here in October, the later part of October. And I want you to stay tuned for information on that. And I do believe we're going down to city council on that one.
Yay. So that it's a pretty area. Cool. That'll be fun.
That'll be good. So anyway, we'll have more on that coming up in just a bit. And again, the day that you go to vote on Election Day is on Tuesday, November the 3rd, but people have already gotten their votes by mail. You yep. can also vote absentee.
Yep. You can vote early October 29th, 30th, and 31st at your county election board. Mm-hmm. If you are in Tulsa County, you'll actually be voting early at One Oak Field, mm-hmm. which is, I'm sure, going to be an amazing experience getting to vote outside on a baseball field. I'm kind of jealous of the Tulsa County people. Yeah, so you can vote early. And you can vote absentee. You can request your absentee ballot up to the 27th mm-hmm. of October, although it's highly recommended that you request it, like, today and then send it back in the mail as quickly as possible.
And I do believe it's the 9th you have until yep. to get that registration form in. So if you've been around the state a bit and you've established a legal residency, you can get that taken care of. Or if you changed your name or if you picked mm-hmm. up and moved across the street to that house you've been fawning over for a long time.
Yes.
Guess what? Because your address changed, you got to change that because you yes. just never know.
Yep. I just changed my voter registration from Collinsville to Bartlesville. Uh-huh. It's really easy. I did it online, printed off my document. You can mail it in to your county election board, or you can take it down. I was in downtown yesterday, so I just took it over there myself. She checked it over, made sure everything was good, made sure I signed it, and I'm all switched over.
You're good.
So, yeah, you have until October 9th to change your voter registration or to register for the first time. And those who will be 18 before the election mm-hmm. who are currently not 18, so if you're like me and you have an October birthday, you can go ahead and register now. So if you're a student, a college student, high school student, any kind of person who... is under 18 but will turn 18 before November 3rd, you can go ahead and register to vote and they will automatically send you that card and get mm-hmm. you in the system once your birthday mm-hmm. passes.
Very good. Emily Tindall, I want to thank you very much for dropping by.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom.
All righty. We've got more coming up right here on K1, the one you trust.